My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Sam Edis.
And I'm Amy Nelson. Welcome to What's Her Story with Sam and Amy.
This is a show about the world's most remarkable women, their professional and personal journeys.
Together, we'll hear from gold medalists, best-selling authors, and leaders of the world's most iconic brands.
Listen every Thursday or join the conversation anytime on Instagram at What's Her Story Podcast.
Zuri Adel is best known for her portrayal of series regular Malika on the award-winning TV series Good Trouble, now in its fifth season.
Tell us a little bit about where your story began.
You know, it really starts with just being raised and brought into the world by parents who are artists themselves and who just really were steeped in the liberation of people of African descent and just being in that household where there was like this additional curriculum of like learning about our power and our knowledge and having this free space to perform, like being around my mom and drum circles and my dad being a performance poet and just having a lot of nurturing to really express myself and always wanting to take a stand and where education was also really important. And I can tell that has fully informed like me becoming this self-proclaimed storyteller griot who I feel like I am, and I'm really grateful to be able to embody and share stories through my voice and body that lead to that type of liberation work, that abolition work. So that's the whole gist of it, where like it's this combination of like community and expression through performance art with this intention of collective liberation. And that's like, that's the womb I was brought up in.
When you were a young girl, did you think you would grow up and be a storyteller?
I knew I was going to express with my voice and with my body. I didn't know what that was, but I wasn't blessed with the singing talents necessarily. So it was just kind of, but no, you know what it really was is that I wanted to be everything. Mm-hmm. Like I would watch something on TV or go to a play and I was like, I want to be a princess. Oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. Oh, maybe I want to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And sort of the FOMO of it all led me to want to portray all of, like, learn all of these life perspectives and portray them on screen or on stage. Like, maybe that's a non-committal version of me too, because it's like, oh, I don't have to take it home, but
I can be you for 3 months.
Yeah, I can do some research. I can learn about this perspective. I can be you for 3 months. Yeah, all of that.
Do you ever feel though, like, I wish I had pursued a career in law or a career in politics or anything else? Or are you always satisfied with where you landed?
I'm really satisfied and excited about where I landed. And I am, without any regrets, I am really excited to like keep learning more. So now that, like, at first, a lot of my acting was and like self-expression and storytelling was in the form of theater and the stage and the live audience experience. And now that I'm having a lot of experience on the camera and in television, I'm craving to learn even more about filmmaking and directing and producing, because I'm like, this machine is phenomenal. And I want to know more and more about, like, and it has such a large reach. Like, motion picture is such a tool for like socioeconomic change. Yes. And it can reach so far so quickly that I want to learn more now about the behind the scenes work of how that happens. So no regrets, but I am like, oh, Now I want to learn more how to produce. Now I want to shadow a few directors and learn that. And I want to learn how, like, the money moves to make all these things happen. Mm-hmm. So
that's great.
Yeah.
We just spoke with Maybelle Blair. It was amazing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And it's amazing to hear a 95-year-old talk about her career in the present tense. So I'll give you a little bit of grace here.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you think your career will look like when you're 75?
When I'm 75, I will for sure be letting my voice and body to tell as many stories through that 75-year young body that can be told. And I'll be producing and directing content that feels like it's liberating, uplifting all in all the ways that I want it to. I'll be bossing around, you know, and hopefully it'll be like on Good Trouble. Like, I have this dream that Good Trouble is going to be like a Grey's Anatomy vibe. So I'm like, let me get my Debbie Allen on. And, you know, be this producer on there and bring these new generations into the show. So, like, I pray when I'm 75, there's something going on there, or at least something that's like an extension of that type of storytelling where we're focused on activism and abolition. And
my daughter, who is a young activist, she and I watch your show together. Oh. We love it. What would you say to a teenager growing up today? Ooh. Given the possibilities and also sort of the angst that has gone into a world in which everyone is so aware, hyper aware, has access to so much information.
Yeah. I would say trust yourself, trust your instincts, trust your inner voice. Like, we've learned so much through that generation that we can uproot any system that is harmful, and we can take action in really creative and new ways. We can reach people in really unconventional ways with our work and our content. And so I would just continue to tell that generation, like, thank you, and trust your instincts, trust your self-awareness, like, keep following that yellow brick road of your voice.
Okay, so you're a storyteller. If you could put your career story into three words, what would they be?
Undaunted by the fight. I know it was four. Still I rise.
I love it. That's amazing. That's a good one.
So you wake up every morning, and what do you do first? What's your routine?
As best as I can, I read a morning devotional and like a daily devotional to sort of get my head in the game and meditate. And then right now I have two puppies, so I take them outside, do a little snuggles, and I usually do like a martial arts training in the morning if I can.
Oh.
Or I'll just meditate and go to work if I have like an early call time. But something where like definitely a practice of sorts where I'm like grounding and hearing from the source about how we're going to stay, you know, present for the day.
How do you find a way to stay connected to the source, the universe, God, whatever we call it, in a really noisy world?
I start with my body. Like, I do a body scan. I make sure I can feel, you know, the air hit my skin, a seat beneath me, my feet in the ground. It could be on the subway, it could be anywhere, but just like start with where the body is and where the breath is. And that helps me really, like, we all just took a breath right now. Yeah. That just helps me get present.
Well, it's so interesting. Someone said this to me the other day, because I've always thought of myself as the world's worst meditator. Sam would probably.
Oh, me too. My brain's always going, but that's like the practice.
It is,
sit there and let it flow. Let the tabs be open.
But someone explained to me, that truly in the whole world, your breath is the only thing that has to live in the present.
Ooh!
So that's why we focus on the breath.
That's good.
Even oh I gosh. Like that, Amy.
You're like, this woo-woo.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, yeah. Where is she going with this?
No, but that's
I'm
a good
I'd rather do my New York Times spelling bee crossword. That's my meditation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that is a meditation, though. No, you're getting your brain.
You.
Yeah, you're strategizing.
So
yeah, you're having quality time with yourself. Yeah. You're unplugged and plugged in. No, that's good. That's how you get your brain moving.
Oh, see, I appreciate you. Thank
yeah, you're woo-woo.
No
don't try to hide
about
it.
About my woo-woo fashion.
Okay. Exactly.
So how did you land your role on Good Trouble?
Oh, so it was this audition process. So you know how Good Trouble is a spinoff of The Fosters?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I had auditioned for a role on the season finale of The Fosters a couple times, and I was excited about it and didn't end up booking it. And then I, you know, a few months later had this audition for this untitled Foster spinoff, I think is what they called it. And I was like, oh, I'm really glad I didn't book that season finale. Just in case there was an overlap. And yeah, there were four or five rounds of auditions. And everyone in the audition room was like, looked so different. You know, everyone was a Black woman. It had like a different, you know, body type or energy or there were just so many different forms of self-expression. And I loved how inclusive the like character description of Malika was. And I'm just so grateful. I was in for all the divine reasons, I guess, like we were, that character and I were soulmates. And I just kept coming back for round after round with the producers and the network. And each actor, like as we narrowed it down to like the final three, each one was so talented that we were like cheering each other on. We were like, if it's because we were all so different. We just all have really different like temperaments. It was like, okay, well, if that's Malika, then that's Malika. Like if it's me, it was just like, oh, at this point, it's not about talent. So it really also developed like this really cool sense of like sisterhood. And yeah, but it was
great. Do you keep in touch with the other two?
I do. Well, there's one of them was already a friend of mine, which was really amazing. And yeah, she's doing so great. Her career is incredible. So yeah, we keep in touch.
Take us through an audition.
Yeah. So in particular for TV, you know, you receive the script, the sides. Sometimes you receive also the script of like the rest of the episode or the rest of the film. And you may get less than 24 hours, maybe you get 48 hours to prepare it. It could be, sometimes it's like a couple pages, but sometimes it's usually like 10 pages and just prepare it and study as much as you can and film it with a friend like Sean, who helps me with my auditions all the time and makes them so great and stretches me and pushes me. And it's helped me find the joy and the playfulness and like working with friends and just trying not to see it as like, okay, let's book this job, as much as like, oh, we get to workshop and play with this thing today. And well, that's right now because it's on tape because of COVID. But before, we used to go into the audition room and audition for the casting directors and meet them. And I do kind of like now being able to do it from home and do it a few times and choose my favorite one. But everyone has like a different, you know, preference on that. And then there are other rounds where it's like, you know, if they want to move forward, then we go in and read with the casting, you know, with the either the casting directors and or the producers and the writers. And now I've been on the other side of that a little bit more, playing Malika, like where other characters will do a chemistry read with me to like come into my story. And I've learned, that's helped me so much because I've learned like, oh, everyone is so talented. Like this is the reasons that like someone will be cast have nothing to do with talent. By the time it gets to like the final three, you know, it just hasn't, it doesn't have any, it's never personal.
Right.
And that's helped me depersonalize like the outcomes of my auditions and just choose to have fun.
And now a quick break.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You've succeeded in a career that most don't.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I'm still learning the answer to that. And thank you for saying I've succeeded, because I don't think I see it that way.
Yeah, I feel successful.
But it's like, I feel like I'm at the beginning of so many things and still auditioning and not booking them. And, you know, all the things. Like, Good Trouble is like probably the most recent audition I booked. And that was 5 years ago.
Wow.
And I do think that it's because everything is in divine order. I know you don't want to hear it.
I know. I really don't.
I love it.
I really think, yeah. But I also think it's about the energy that we bring into a room. I think like how present
you
we can
bring
be
the
people.
Best energy. And by the way, for everyone listening, your outfit, I'm kind of like gaga over, and I don't usually
like
get like that. So tell me about it. And so describe it. I'll describe it to our listeners, but it's silk and it's matching. And is it one jumpsuit or
it's a two-piece, but you know, a jumpsuit.
Who makes it?
Ofur, it's this West African company.
How do you spell
it? They're so amazing. Ofuure.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like
they do really great, like high waist, two piece, which I love a set.
I love it. Yeah. Anyway, so in terms of your own personal life, what are you doing on the weekends or with friends, or do you date? Tell us about your romance.
Ooh, juicy and spicy. Well, listen, our schedule is just so, my work schedule is so, I'm still learning, I think, because that's more of an excuse than a reason, but I am still learning how to balance like the constantly changing demands of like my work schedule with a personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So I date. I also just started working with a matchmaker, and that's been fun.
Oh,
yeah, that's been
awesome.
Fun. So it's like I'm working on delegating everything. So now I'm delegating
it.
Like
we've had other guests who've had
so
success.
Many.
Oh, okay,
matchmakers.
Great. Yeah.
So
that's
many.
Been a fun ride, because it's also just taught me what I like and like what I'm attracted to, and then how I like to be treated.
Yeah.
And it's also really held me accountable to be honest about like if I'm feeling a second date or if I'm not. And just to be clear and unapologetic about what I like, which I love your question about like, well, why is it that you are successful? Because it's like, damn, I want to be humble. But also, I think there is something strong about saying like, it is important the energy that we bring into a space and like how present we can be and how people feel when we leave. Do they feel, you know, drained or do they feel filled up? And I like to honor that, like, I do my best work to fill myself up so that I can fill people up when I'm in the rooms.
Yeah.
And I do think that that has an impact on my career.
And I think you can be incredibly humble and share about your success so that other people see it. Because we can't be what we don't see.
Yeah.
Right?
And right.
So for, you're right. For little girls. For
well, yeah. I think as women especially, it's so important. Like Amy and I love to talk about women and money. Like, yeah, we want to make a lot of money. And people are always like, oh, you just said that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Men never say that.
You're right. You're
money.
Right.
And like cover their mouth. Like what?
Right.
So talk to us about money and your thoughts on money.
Okay.
Your relationship.
Were you in my
money?
Therapy session this last week? My okay. We really, okay. Hold me accountable. Yeah. Money. My relationship with money is growing because I went, so like when I first booked Good Trouble, I was on food stamps. I was just, you know, I was making minimum wage, working part-time at a yoga studio and auditioning, you know, at night and so by the day, working at a yoga studio by night. And because I had not booked like guest stars or other sort of like less consistent parts, I went from what felt like zero to 100 when I booked the series regular contract on Good Trouble. So there's a lot of like personal finance, like financial literacy that I've needed to learn in sort of a crash course. And it's been imperative to have people around me who I trust who can like guide me through that. I've learned a lot about saving, a lot about taxes, a lot about like whatever we negotiate for ourselves is really like, like we'll really take home half of that by the time we, you know, pay out our taxes, pay out our teams, all that, to keep those things in mind and to invest. And I'm still in a crash course, but my relationship with money has really stretched me lately to remember that there is no lack. Like, you know, it's always like, well, is this the last season or are we going to have more? Should I save up? Am I not going to work for a couple years? And so it's had me have a little bit of like a scarcity mindset sometimes. Like I don't ever want to go back to where I was again.
Which is a freelancer mindset. I mean, that's a common thing.
Yeah.
Right? When you don't have the corporate salary.
Or on that journey.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, I like nice things. And because my schedule is the way it is, now I need to delegate a lot of things. And so that costs even more money, but it helps me show up so full at work. And then when I show up full at work, I make more money because I book more jobs. And okay, now I got to delegate more. So it has taught me that there is this cycle that comes right back to me. You were in my therapy session. My therapist is going to be very happy that she asked me that question. She's going to be like, see, I told you, it's all a cycle. There's
I'll
no lack.
That's a compliment.
Yes, thanks.
Should we do like a quick speed round?
What book are you reading?
Speak Up by Tunde Oyeneyin.
What is your favorite beverage?
A chai latte with oat milk and a little agave.
Where are you taking your next vacation?
Barbados.
Who leaves you starstruck?
Oprah.
We all are starstruck.
But you know Oprah.
I do. But she still leaves me starstruck.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So Amy, Good Trouble was one of the shows that Ella and I watched together, and she just goes gaga over Zuri. She thinks she's the bee's knees, and I understand why. She's incredibly charismatic and thoughtful and really smart.
Very smart. I mean, she's definitely one of those people you meet and you immediately want to be friends and hang out and want her to succeed because she's one of those really rare individuals that seems super kind and ambitious and interesting. Like, it's a mix you don't see a lot.
Well, I love the fact that she's an activist. You get the sense that she's not going to take on a role where she doesn't believe in the ethos of the show. And I think that that also is rare in Hollywood when it's so hard. I mean, you heard her story. It's just so hard to make it. And I found her story really inspiring, and it made you think, like, if you're out there and you've gotten all these rejections, all it takes is one, right? One yes, whether you're in business, whether you're in theater, it's just one yes that can change your life.
Absolutely. And so the point is to keep going until you hear the yes. Thanks for listening to What's Her Story with Sam and Amy.
We would appreciate it if you leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, connect with us on social media at What's Her Story Podcast.
What's Her Story with Sam and Amy is powered by my company, The Riveter, at theriveter.co, and Sam's company, Park Place Payments, at parkplacepayments.com.
Thanks to our producer, Stacey Para, and our male perspective, Blue Burns.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes.
Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.